Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jeremiah was a prophet in the southern kingdom of Judah in the early 6th century BC. His work as a prophet was difficult. And when you read the book of Jeremiah, you can read about his struggle with the work that God asked him to do. He lived in a time when the king and the religious leaders and even the people of Judah had turned away from God. And God demanded that Jeremiah speak out against the injustices that he saw. He called the temple a den of robbers. Did you know that Jesus got that from stories he'd heard in synagogue growing up? He called the leaders in Judah, he called out their unfaithfulness. He pointed out to them that they had turned to worship of other deities and were perhaps even participating in child sacrifice. And so Jeremiah was harsh in his criticism. Spurred on by God, Jeremiah berated them. He accused them and he warned them of the judgment that would come. For his work, he was eventually banished from the temple entirely. They did not want to hear what he had to say. But that didn't stop him. We read today that Jeremiah told his scribe, Baruch, to write down Jeremiah's words and then take them into the temple and read them aloud there. So Baruch did, writing and then reading all of Jeremiah's accusations and warnings. The temple leaders took these scroll and brought it to the king. The king started to read it aloud. These are the words of the Lord spoken to the prophet Jeremiah. That was the king's response. As he read, he cut pages from the scroll and threw them into the fire. Sitting in his place of comfort, privilege, and power, the king completely disregarded the words of God offered by his prophet. As it turns out, it would only be a matter of years during Jeremiah's lifetime that Judah would be completely defeated by Babylon, and its leaders would be taken into exile. Then Jeremiah's words would turn to words of comfort and consolation, assuring the people that God had not forgotten or abandoned them. Last week, our middle school confirmation class met, and we learned about covenants in the Bible and this idea of covenants. Covenants are agreements which include promises of God on one side and the commitment of God's people on the other. We watched a video by the Bible Project on YouTube, which talks about the various ways that we have imagined our relationship with God. God as creator and we're the creatures. God as a parent and we are God's children. God as the shepherd and we are the sheep. God, even as a friend. But the video pointed out that one way that God invites us into relationship is as God's partners in caring for and healing the world that God has made and bringing reconciliation in the world. And that the idea of covenant is offered by God to bring humanity into that partnership, that working side by side with God. So we looked at some of the covenants that God had made. God chose the family of Abraham and Sarah and asked them to go to a new place, to leave their home, to go to a new place, to change the way they lived and worshiped. And in return, God promised to give them descendants as numerous as the stars. God gave them land to live in, new names, and God fulfilled the promise as the descendants of Abraham and Sarah now number countless Christians, Jews, and Muslims around the world. At Sinai, God made a covenant through Moses with the people of Israel God invited them to be God's particular chosen people, to care for them and love them in a particular way. And in return, ask them to follow the guidelines, the Torah, or commandments that God gave. These were commands given not to restrict and confine their lives, but to allow the community to live together in harmony, to live in God's shalom as they respected and cared for one another. There are other covenants in the Bible that seem to be based solely on the promise of God. We read recently about the story of King David, when God promises that there will be a future king who will bring peace and justice in the world, who will be of the line of David, and that this one will be the Messiah. And God doesn't ask response from David about that. It is simply a promise that God makes. And then unique among all these is a covenant with Noah, which is a promise that God makes to all the people of the earth with no commitment required back. God unconditionally promises never again to destroy the earth as he did with the flood, no matter what happens. God keeps making these promises to care for Israel, keeps inviting them into relationship with God, and they keep saying no. From the golden calf that they create while Moses is still on the mountain, to David's son, King Solomon, turning toward the deities of his many wives, to the king today burning the words of God's prophet, the people of Israel keep turning their back and rejecting God. And so God goes back to the beginning, to that first covenant with Noah, to try again. I will make a new covenant with Israel, God says, not like the covenants that you have broken again and again. This covenant won't depend on you deciding to follow, because the meaning of the covenant will be written on your hearts. God will offer a new covenant which will begin with God forgiving the people all their wrongdoing. It will be a covenant based in love, in God's unchanging commitment and faithfulness to God's people. In the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus is sitting with his disciples at the Last Supper, he echoes these words from Jeremiah. Though Jesus knows he is sitting at a table with one who has already betrayed him and others who will soon deny and abandon him, Jesus offers a cup of wine and says, "This is the new covenant given in my blood. This is the new promise of relationship and reconciliation, the promise of forgiveness, which I have brought to you in my life and in what is soon to come." Jesus is the promised king of the line of David, the Messiah who offers redemption to the world. Today is Christ the King Sunday. This is the day that we read about this new covenant, which Jesus claims is offered in his own body and blood. On this day, we remember that this is the King we worship, Jesus, who gave his own life in love and commitment to people who had rejected him, who had rejected God over and over. Jesus is the king whose rule begins with forgiveness and whose rule shows the power of love, which is stronger than hate, of mercy, which is stronger than fear, of life in God, which is stronger even than death. Thanks be to God. Amen.